Hello everyone, once again it's me, Osaru Alile, and we're back on the Encounter series. So today, guys, I have with me, I was just telling you that she's so cute, such a pretty girl. I have Amotayo with me, and Amotayo literally lives her life day to day with directives from the Holy Spirit, and she's going to be sharing with us seven fun encounters that she's had with God, and just stories, experiences that she's had with God. And I'm super excited because we're just like flowing with this today, and I just want to see what God wants to share through her to the rest of us. So please stay with us on the Encounter series. Thank you. So guys, we're back, and I have Amotayo with you, like I said. So I'm just going to, like I always do, ask Amotayo to introduce herself. So Amotayo, darling, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
So even introducing myself is, that may be one of our stories.
I love it.
Sometime last year, God gave me the name Firecatcher. Mm-hmm. And rather than trying to say I write, I'm a creative, I produce, I can't do, none of those things seem to fit, because God kept saying none of those things defines you. Mm-hmm. And what you are and how you function is Firecatcher. So that's me. Yeah.
Guys, Amotayo is just Firecatcher. She's not like, oh, my name is Amotayo and I do this and I do that and do that. So if you guys are anything like me, I'm already excited as to what she's going to share with us. So number one, Amotayo is a Firecatcher, a name that was given to her by God himself. So Amotayo, okay, so can you please share with us the other six of your stories?
Should I tell the story?
Yes, please. Time. Yeah, tell us the story.
Okay, so I'm an only girl. I have four brothers and my dad and my mom. And almost everybody is an engineer. Mm. Actually, no, everyone is an engineer. My mom even studied something similar to engineering. But I studied English, so that was like weird.
Random.
Yeah. However, I'm very analytical, problem solving. I can read a blueprint and all of those things. And so my parents always told me while I was younger that I could do more. But they always said it as if what I was doing was a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like, English. Oh, why are you just doing English when you could have done more? And it's like there was so much more. But then that question kind of followed me through life, because at every point when I wanted to make a decision that people didn't agree with, mm-hmm. it always came back to, are you making the lazy choice or are you making the right choice for you? Mm. And at some point, because I can do so many things and people are always telling me you can do so many things, it becomes overwhelming. It actually becomes this, almost this burden that you're carrying. Mm. And one day I was talking to one of my friends and I was like, I'm trying to figure out what this thing is that I do. Who am I? How do I work? How do I operate? I don't get it. And then I was saying to her, it's almost as if I can see someone's fire. I can see what somebody is excited about. And I can catch it. And if I can catch it, then I can help them do it. Mm. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like, if I can see it, I can help you do it. And then she goes, oh, Shay, Firecatcher. And it hits me like it was the voice of the Holy Spirit that actually said that to me. It hits me. She didn't remember.
It was.
Didn't remember that she said it. Like, oh, later, wow. I was like, oh, Firecatcher. She was like, oh, hey, nice. I was like,
you said it.
She was like, she had no recollection, which is obviously evidence that it was God. And it made so much sense, because I was like, it's almost like I live my life looking for fire to catch. Because once I see it, like, I won't let you rest. It becomes my thing that has to happen to whatever degree, which is why a title doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. Because in one case, I might be helping you write. I might be helping you edit. I might be helping you produce. I may be helping you do anything else. I may be explaining something to you. I may be holding your hand. I may be hooking you up with other people. I may be doing a marketing plan. I can literally, whatever it is, as long as I see the vision, I would also see.
Flow with
him. I'll see how I can be part of it. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. In my head, I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not too fair. I'm just like, I can do the things that I can do, and that's it. But yeah, it's interesting that a lot of times we're looking for our quote-unquote purpose or what it is that we're supposed to be doing. But then you got validation in the one word that God gave you and make it easy for you to say, okay, this is who I am, and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you said it, like, growing up, they kept on telling you more, 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 more. But yeah. that is you. You are more.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
High fire catcher. So anyway, so please go ahead. What else? Tell me. Tell us more.
Okay, for some reason, I don't know why this story is coming up, but it's the story of when I started, I guess, when I really started the foolishness,
mm-hmm.
or when I was aware that I had entered fully into this foolishness.
So well, I heard, Mota, what is the foolishness?
Oh, the foolishness. Following God literally day by day, and I don't mean like month by month. I mean like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I don't know what we're doing today, so whatever comes my way, like if someone calls me, was I meant to pick up that call? Mm-hmm. Yes, no, okay. I have a story about that as well. Shall I share?
Please.
Okay, so so sometime last year I was praying, and I kind of have this way of praying where I'm actually just talking to God, or mm-hmm. sometimes I open my journal and I'm writing thoughts, and I'm asking questions. Like I would write one sentence and I'll say, this sentence is my question, and the next sentence I'm going to write is your answer. And so I was writing and I was doing that, and I was lying down in bed, and my phone rang, and it was one of my uncles. And I looked and I thought, oh, this is weird, he doesn't call me. And I said, oh God, shall I pick up? And the answer was no. And I thought, why would you tell me no?
He doesn't call me, so
yeah, like this is my uncle. And God said, nah, don't worry, it's a distraction. So what does that mean? It's like, oh, don't worry, he's just trying to hook you up. I was like, oh, okay. He's tried that once before. Mm-hmm. I get that. And I left it. And then later that day, I thought, should I call him back? And God is like, no, don't bother. I was like, okay, now this one is rude.
Because that's my uncle.
That's my
now.
Uncle. Anyway, long and short of the story, I don't know how much exactly is safe to disclose. My uncle ended up offering me a job
mm-hmm.
that got me really, really excited. I remember, firecatcher, right? I'm mm-hmm. supposed to follow whatever God says when he says it. But this sounded like, oh my God, what
perfect
a great
job.
Opportunity. I can finally prove to everyone that I'm not really stupid. I'm using my gifts and I can show everyone because it's such a huge project. Mm. And I remember my uncle used the word career defining.
Mm.
And that got me really excited. And I asked God, should I do it? And God said, before he gave you the offer, before you knew what it was, I already told you not to do it.
Mm.
I thought, but yeah, maybe, are you sure that's, you know, really, is that real? Mm. I mean, I just wanted to register a business now, and now a job has come, maybe everything is falling together. And then God went, this funny kind of quiet. It was funny because he wasn't quiet, but he wasn't engaging with me anymore. So I thought, okay, it was my nerves. I'm actually meant to do it. And I kept trying and I kept going, but I kept feeling this unease. Mm. So I was talking to this same friend who gave me the name Firecatcher. And I was like, oh, it's such a great opportunity, but I don't know why I keep having this feeling. I don't like it. It's so weird. I need to be more of a go-getter. Why am I, you know, holding myself back?
Who sent your message?
Honestly. And I said, you know, it's such a great opportunity. It's a career-defining opportunity. And I got off the phone shortly after that, and that's when I feel as if God scolded me. He goes, how dare you say it is a career-defining opportunity? Who defines your career? And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I told you before you picked up that call. Because he called me back. He sent me a message saying, oh, I have a job for you. And then he called me. Because I told you before you picked up that call,
don't do it.
It's a distraction. Then you dare call it a career-defining opportunity.
Whose career?
And then I started shaking. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It turns out that my uncle, that uncle in particular, had actually been trying to hook me up with someone. And he knew that I wouldn't fall for any other regular tactic.
Mm.
So he did concoct
a job. Oh wow, this entire thing.
To try to get me into this hookup situation. And the way I was just like, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Because literally, I was lying in my bed. In 15 minutes, this could all have been over. But I ended up stretching it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, yeah, I answered you the first time now. So, and so yeah, that was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. One thing that the end part of this is actually for me the most important part, where he says that, but I answered you the first time.
Mm.
So God is telling us something, and his favorite thing to that he says to me is, go back to my last instruction, Osara. Please don't ask me any nonsense questions. What is wrong with you? So he already told you the answer. And then, so imagine if, I mean, God bless your heart that you didn't go ahead. So imagine if you had gone ahead and continued, ooh, and something goes wrong, and then you start complaining, God, why me? What happened?
He actually showed me in the end what could have happened. It would have been disaster.
Okay, very good. Guys, I hope you're listening here, because obviously I am definitely learning about this, because it's one thing to hear God the first time, but it's more important to stay.
Yes.
And just keep hearing him every time. So you can get excited that, oh my God, I heard, get on, I listened, I obeyed. But then what did he tell you to do next? And what did he tell you to do next? What did he tell you to do first? Why are you asking again?
Yeah.
Obviously, first of all, okay, wait, you know what? I'm even judging you a little bit. So like, okay, so you already said you're a fire catcher.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be like, oh wow, God, you've defined who I am, blah, blah, blah. And somehow, the fact that, and this is just our human nature, the fact that somebody said something was career defining still picked your interest, and you thought, ah, God loves me, so he must want me to define my career. But who are we really? What is our identity? Is it really in our career or in our marriage or in our what?
You know, honestly, that is the one thing I think that experience showed me, how much I am still battling. So that even though I am literally living my life day by day,
mm-hmm,
in a certain way, I have so much peace, like 78% of the time, there are those times when I feel like, but today I don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, there are times when I can trust and say, it doesn't matter, I'm going to wait till the end of this. And then something will happen in the middle of it.
Mm.
And it's normally something external that I don't identify for a long time.
Mm.
So maybe my mom has come downstairs and looked at me again and said, hey, this one's still here. And maybe it's on a day when, you know, I was on social media and somebody said something. Maybe there's an argument going around and everybody's talking and I'm on this side and I'm so sure. Or maybe I talk to another sister who's normally somebody who holds me up when I'm not feeling too confident. And that person is having their own process and says something that I then take in, and then I start doubting,
thinking that, am I really? And I liked how you said that, oh, that you were thinking, oh, I need to be more bold or whatever. So you're now using things that God will actually use to encourage you, to distract you.
Yes.
Said, oh, I need to be bold, but bold about what?
About
just bold about the wrong thing. Who sent you message to be bold about a career defining job that I didn't send you to do?
Exactly.
Hold your boldness. You can use it for other things.
Honestly.
Thank you.
Honestly.
So, yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So,
oh, there was another story.
Mm-hmm. You're about to tell us.
Oh, yeah. I was about to tell you. Okay. So, I think we're already on number three.
Yes, we are.
Oh.
Hey.
So, I used to be part of this fellowship. I used to go every Monday. So, if anybody's listening, I'm sorry, guys. I haven't been in like a year or more. But one day somebody was talking about how they hear from God,
mm-hmm,
and they said, you know, in the old days people used to say, when you want to learn how to hear from God, you ask God, you know, what tie shall I wear, or what something shall I do. And I thought to myself, really, that's the easy way of hearing from God, by saying, what shall I wear? Like, mm-hmm, that seems like, what's God's business is what you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even understand why that makes sense. But for some reason, that stayed on my mind. And a couple, I don't know when it was, one day, I think I said to myself, do you know what? The people who are hearing which tie they should wear, they don't have two heads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You answer me now. I'm going to stand in front of my wardrobe and you're going to tell me what I'm going to wear. And I don't even remember how the process started, but I know that I just said, well, how's this going to work? How's this going to work? And I just felt, you know what? Whatever I end up picking, I'm going to say that was you.
That's what God
said. So you better be part of this so that I won't have to lie.
Exactly, that
about
you said
your
it.
Choice. Mm-hmm. And I started having this feeling where some strange thing would happen. I'll either like start picking out the clues and then I'll hold one. And for some reason, I feel like holding that one.
Get stuck
and
on
so
it.
So I'll take it out and I'll wear it. And I thought, okay, well, you know, how about my lipstick then? And then this one was the strangest one, because I would then hover my hand over my lipsticks. And then it will stop on one. And I'm like, is this real? And I'll be laughing to myself. but I'll pick up that lipstick and I'll do it. Now apply it. And I started to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it gets to the point where I'll be like, well, I don't know what to wear, so you choose, because Shivi, you said. And then I started to pick my clothes that way. And then God started to lead me with different things, like, yeah, there's a house help, but wash your plates. Mm-hmm. Like, why should I wash my plates? But I just kept feeling like there was this urge, there was this pressure to just stand there. So I couldn't even go away. And let me just go and drink water. No, you can't move, because I've said, you know that you're feeling like you should wash your plates.
You feel
right
the pressure, so why not just do
and
it?
I started to do that. And I kept doing it to the point where it was just so comforting nature. To me. It literally became second nature. I didn't have to start the sentence with, okay, Lord, what am I going to wear today? I'll literally just stand there and wait. Or start picking things. And if I'm in a hurry, I'm like, well, I'm in a hurry today. So instead of me picking 5 things to wear,
just you better just... show me the one.
And there was this day, I remember, I picked one top and I picked a pair of trousers. And I've never worn that combination together before. So I thought, this is so weird. Why are you making me do this? I'll just try it on just to take it off again. I know you're trying to, you know, let me show me that I trust you, whatever. And I put it together and I was like, okay,
this is cute.
Actually looks really cute. And I burst into laughter, because I just, in my mind, it was like, okay, Holy Spirit's my styler, my stylist rather. And down to makeup, okay, use that one, don't use that one. And then when I mess up, I'm like, so why did I mess up? It's like, well, you think you messed up, but I like you. Like,
that's the look I want for you today.
Yeah, and I started to have those conversations. And honestly, I think that made me see God really as a friend. That friendship part that makes me feel like I can throw a tantrum today and then say I'm sorry tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That freedom that God literally doesn't need me to come with my head bowed, my hands clasped together. I can be myself.
In perfect.
That really. Yeah.
Perfect posture. So it's almost like you don't have to come in perfect posture in the physical and in your mind as well. And also, one thing that I noted here was that you were learning the things that seem like they're foolish things,
yes,
because he wanted you to trust him in bigger things,
yes,
in the future. So it's almost like, oh, if you can trust me with your lipstick, then yes, you know, are you, yes, now, yeah. So he was not even doing it, obviously not doing it for himself, he's doing it for you, really, because like, okay, I need this girl to be able to trust me. So if you can trust me with this, let me, how about this, and how about that, and how about that, and then you now be like, oh, okay, well, if he was right with that, then I should trust him for that as well. And it's with God, I guess it's a consistent walk. So you do this one and okay, works out. It's almost, it's a relationship. It's like your normal relationship with, you're dating this guy and you're just like, okay, can I trust him with this? Let me try this and see how he'll respond.
Yeah.
And then if you trust, then you're able to now fall and like, okay, let me just let him go.
Yep.
So that's how you learnt your foolish nature, per se. Okay.
Yeah. And that's how I learnt love.
Okay, yes.
Ooh, another story.
Yes! Story number 4.
Okay, so, number 4. So I didn't understand what love was. Not just romantic love. Romantic love was the one I thought I understood. But I didn't understand what love was, just in general. And I remember one day, I was doing a course, a discipleship course called Master Life. And a verse popped up on that day's reading and it said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And there was this other verse, strange sounding verse, that says, no one has ever seen God, but when you show love to one another, something, something, something. I was like, why would you parallel seeing God with showing love? And why would you say, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another? What is this love? Because the argument we have in the world a lot of time is that, Ellen DeGeneres is generous. Oprah, we don't know if she's Christian, we're never sure. People are kind, Bill Gates, you know, people are doing kind and wonderful things in the world. So how can love be a defining fact? Like, how?
Because everybody could love, like, even the people that are not, like, they love as well.
So how can you say, one, God is love, define yourself by it, then two, say when we love our neighbor, people see God in us even though they can't see God with their physical eyes, and then you say love is what makes people know that you are a disciple of Christ, it blew my mind. And that day I just said, do you know what? You explain these things to me because I don't get it. Hmm. I don't get it. And God started with this interesting thing of introducing me to the Godhead. But it was like introducing me. Okay, so God started to introduce me to the Godhead. Mm. So where we've heard God the Father, Son, and Spirit, it took me years to realize this was the picture God was painting. But the first person I got close to was the Father. Mm. So when I started asking about love, all the verses about God is love kept coming. Because it didn't say no one has ever seen Jesus. It said no one had ever seen God.
Yeah.
So for me, and I think I had a friend around that time who started to talk to me about the Father's love. And I was like, what is a father's love? And they were like, well, you know, what do you think when you think about love? And I was like, oh, what do you think about father? What do you think? And I thought, well, I mean, my dad and I are cool, so that's no problem. And then it's like, mm-mm, your dad and you are cool. That's not the same thing. As, like, it's different. I was like, well, how is that different? Like, I have a good relationship with my dad. I don't have daddy issues. And God is like gradually getting me to this place of, how do I put it? Learning the Father's love. And so he started to break down my defenses. Started to show me actually the foolish side of love. You know, I started to see how people say, oh, you know, you can love, but, you know, have boundaries. And I was like, Jesus had no boundaries. Mm. He went all the way to the cross. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he has to be wise with this. But it's also said, if somebody takes your cloak, give them the rest of your... Like, if somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. He wasn't being figurative. Oh, no, now it was just figurative. I was like, I just keep getting this feeling. No, that's not that's what actually it is. Real. And it started to challenge me to see how I could even just understand that this happened. This was the nature of God. And if that was really the nature of God, then it means that that's how God loves me. Hmm. So it means that he doesn't see what I've done wrong and turn away from me. He just loves me. And I didn't understand. Like, even till now, sometimes I'm just like, eh? And then I thought, I mean, there's the whole thing with the Godhead. So the Father, and after like a year of just like being in love with the Father, and I finally got comfortable with saying, oh, Father, Father, you know, and I was always so happy to talk to the Father.
I love it.
One day, it felt like God then handed me over to the Son.
Mm.
It was very, I remember feeling really strange, like,
where's my daddy?
Honestly, I was like, why are you bouncing me? And then I feel like I have pictures in my head of like they're all laughing because they're all one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm not bouncing you. Like, well, here I just want to, and I realized that God was showing me the love of a father, and then he handed me over to the Son to show me the love of a lover.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship I then had with Jesus was like the relationship of a toaster. So what happened was one day I had traveled, I'd quit my job in faith, and I'd traveled to just take some time out by myself. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm following you, believing that all the things you're telling me is real. But I'm still single. And I'm over here like, hey, I know you love me, but I can't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember God saying to me, well, what would you do if you had it? Like, if you had a boyfriend now, what would you do? And I was like, well, I'll probably ask him, like, you know, what should I eat tonight? So God was like, okay, ask me. And I was like, huh? This one is different from asking you what I should know.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what should I eat? And then something popped into my mind and I was like, oh my God, I'm really crazy. But at least I'm the only one in this place
exactly.
Right now.
So no one knows my secret.
And then I'll go into the kitchen and I'll be like, well, if I had a boyfriend right now, I would ask him, does he like how this tastes? He's like, ask me. And I was like, okay, this is crazy. And I'll say, ooh, do you like my dress? And I just like picking really random mm-hmm. things and... God just kept saying, ask me. I'll say, and then I'll gist about how my day went, gist with me. And it was like that over and over again. And I literally, I feel like I fell in love. Mm, like I was just like, oh, oh, you actually love me. I can actually like,
I can feel this. I have butterflies.
It was, yeah. And then after like a year of Jesus is like, me and Jesus are besties. One day, very gently, it was like, I'm introducing you to the Holy Spirit. And I think that was when my life was most wrecked. Because the Holy Spirit was revealed to me as a feminine personality. And God wrecked me because he said, now you understand what a father is like. You understand what a lover should be. But you don't understand what a woman should be. You actually don't know the function of a woman. And in the world where everyone keeps saying feminism, there's parts of feminism that is from God. But the way it is put in comparison to men is making people not understand what a woman is meant to be.
Or somehow they reject it. Like, it's, yeah. There's a strange like repulsion to it. And I'm like,
well. And God is like, there is something so powerful about woman. And the Holy Spirit revealed, because now I understand that it's not, there's no gender in the Godhead per se, but the Holy Spirit is strongly, God is just like, you will learn about woman, and you and Holy Spirit will be best friends. And I didn't understand it. I was like, I don't get, and I actually felt a resistance. And God is like, it's because you don't understand woman. You can understand a boo, you've had boyfriend before. And also it came to my relationship with my parents. So I have a better relationship with my dad than with my mom. So my mom and I can gist, but it was something that on this journey, I deliberately started to ask her questions about real life. Like, who are you actually as a human being, not as my mom? And but God was like, it's because you don't understand the function of a mother. You don't understand the function of a woman beyond carrying a baby. You don't get it. And that there is a wisdom. There is, when it says the Holy Spirit is the helper, and the Bible says the woman was created to be the helpmeet. When it says, you know, the comforter, the nurturer, and it says the women are nurturing. It's like, if you can learn to love the Holy Spirit, you will learn to love yourself, because you are a woman. And then you appreciate what women struggle with, and you'll be able to see why it is so you'll be able to see how far it is from the truth. Yeah, I don't even know what I've said.
I get it.
And then now it's like, literally, I feel like Holy Spirit is handing me over back to Jesus. I'm like, no, we're best friends. I'm stuck this. Here, like, you're my best. And I literally feel like they're literally all just laughing at me. But I think the reason for this new season is that God is trying to show his power and his word. So it's no longer about relationship in the sense of like, learn how a father is, learn how a lover is. It's now like, okay, for impact, the word and the spirit go together.
Wow, that's really,
I feel like that was several stories.
No, that was one story, my darling. Don't trick us. You have three more to go. No, but okay, so like this whole thing of the Godhead, I struggled with it as well, understanding who the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what's the difference? You people say you're one, and now you're telling me you're three. Who are you guys? Like, I don't get it. But it was actually interesting to me when I realized that, oh yeah, that was the Father. Oh yeah, that was the Holy Spirit. Like, oh yeah, that was Jesus. I'm like, but I can't explain how I know that is a different person that is talking or that I'm communing with, but I know. Like, so it's a very, very weird, interesting thing. But I find it very cool how God wanted to show you each of them separate from each other so that you completely understand it. So your mind can never trick you.
I didn't know that's what he was doing.
Yeah, that's so profound.
Why are you handing me over? I don't want... sorry, Jesus, no offense.
You're cool and all, but...
Father and I are cool.
We're bonding.
Like, don't worry, be going. And then when it was, literally the Holy Spirit one, when I felt like you're handing me over, I was like, don't do this. Don't do this.
I'm getting used to this position.
It's not even getting used. I've picked my favorites. I'm sorry. Sorry, Father and Son. But I literally, in my mind, they have the same face, but they smile different. I don't know what it is.
Sound like different.
I don't know what it is.
That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like thinking of 500 stories in my head. Like, okay, so that's story number 4. I don't know why this is so exciting to me.
Or five?
That was 4. Okay. I think it was 4.
Yeah, there's a fire catcher story. There's a picking clothes story. There's this one.
It's 4. It's 4. Guys, even if you guys cannot respond, how many was it? 4. It's 4. It's 4. Okay, so number 5 story.
Wow.
I don't know why I'm so excited about this thing that I'm on Thursday. 7 days a week, seven stories.
Honestly, I like how God is just giving us the stories now as we're going. Next thing comes to my mind is singleness.
Tell us. Yeah.
Okay, so singleness has probably been the single most impactful time of my life so far.
Mm.
And obviously, it's the only time of my life so far, so, you know, it's not really saying much. But when God started to speak to me about singleness, and when I started to become aware that that's what was happening, and I realized that he wasn't actually talking to me about singleness. He was talking to me about marriage. And he wasn't just talking to me about marriage. He was talking to me about oneness.
Mm.
Because this whole thing about Trinity... This whole thing about Trinity, the reason why it's hard for us to understand it is because... Oh, let's put it this way. The way God has... The pattern God has given us to try to understand it is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually it. So... We can understand singleness, you being whole and complete by yourself. But we can't understand being one when it's more than one person.
Yeah.
It's like, bizarre. That's confusing. There are two people. And God is like, no, there's Father, there's Son, there's Spirit. But they are one.
Mm-hmm.
How are they one? I don't understand. For example, in the beginning, God made a man. Then he removed the woman from him. He was complete, she was complete, they were complete before, they were still complete after. Okay. Now, I said they should come back together and be married as one, because the word marry literally means joined mm-hmm. together, and wedding means like wedded, like gummed together. That's
like glue.
That's literally it. And I was like, I don't understand. And then he gave me this analogy of earthworms.
Hmm.
When you cut an earthworm in half, it becomes two. So is it two or is it one? And as well, many
it
times
it was one, and then now it's two, but it's really still from one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird.
And if all the earthworms decide to move in the same direction, they're moving in unity, mm-hmm. in one accord. But if they decide to fight against each other, then they'll be separated.
Mm.
So it's like God created us as whole parts of a whole one.
Huh?
Exactly. Like
I'm like, what?
So, for instance, with me, with the way God taught me about singleness and enjoying singleness was to teach me about marriage. So he showed me. He said, "Okay, you have this desire to be with someone. You're not sure if that desire is right or wrong. So I'll explain it to you. The desire is right. It was wired into you. Because that desire is what makes you seek to be someone else.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have the desire, you wouldn't seek.
You wouldn't want to, yeah.
And if you didn't have desire and somebody came to you, you wouldn't answer. That desire is... It's like when you talk about plants and the flower buds. The whole purpose of that flower is to attract insects.
Someone to come, yeah.
So the purpose of your desire and your look and everything about you is you're opening up to attract somebody to come.
Mm-hmm.
So that's normal. That's fine. When somebody now does not come and you're now stressed, you may have the wrong sense of where you are in your process.
Mm-hmm.
It may just not be the time. But you have the awareness, because that awareness is what makes you prepare. So, for instance, if you're in prime SS2 and you know you're going into uni,
yeah.
Even if you're not in SS3 yet, you start thinking about what uni you want to go to. You mm-hmm. start thinking
exams.
Exactly. So your mind starts to go to, you know, your uncles and aunts start asking you, what do you want to be in the future? So your mind starts to prepare, but you're not going to be that thing in future. Yet tomorrow, rather, you're going to go through first term, second term, third term. Then you're going to go into SS3. Then you go graduate. First term, second term. Then you graduate. Then you do
pass
jam.
Exams, yeah.
You pass the exam. Then you waste. Then you get into uni. Even in uni, you're not going to be who you want to be.
Immediately, yeah.
First year, second year, third year, fourth year, and even then, you may not be. You may still do a master's. You may still do internships before you get there. However, the awareness of that thing has started.
You're walking
from such
it.
A long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's. So singleness. So to understand the purpose of singleness and to enjoy singleness and use it well, you have to understand where you are going. You have to understand that you're heading toward marriage, and you have to understand why marriage is important.
Mm.
And so God first dealt with, you know, for singleness, the first thing you have, well, for me, was the sexual desire. How do you deal with that? And so God put it in perspective and showed me very simple thing. He said, single people want to have sex. Married people are not having sex. So clearly, sex is not the
mind,
issue.
Yeah.
It's a mental mind thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't have it, you want it. When you can have it, you don't want it anymore. So you won't die if you're not having sex. Because there are married couples who have forgotten the last time they had sex. So that, I was like, eh. God is like, so calm your body down. Because one day,
you're just fine.
You'll be tired. And I'm like, okay, but can you, really, there's no need to say to that.
Exactly. They're just like, sure.
They're not doing it. They are complaining about their husband. They're complaining, like, literally, they have free reign to do as much as they want. And they're not doing it. So relax, one. The next thing was, if you can deal with the sexual urges, why, like, what's the point of that companionship? People say companionship, and I was like, well, you can have a best friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same. Well, no, because David and Jonathan, you know, Jesus and John and Peter and all these people, like, they're all these covenant relationships.
Yeah.
You can share everything with them. So why do you need an opposite sex best friend to sleep with? But that's not the point. Like, what's this about? And God started to tell me, show me how there is a oneness that comes when there is one person who is assigned to have 100% like stake in your life.
Mm.
But it's not about your life, it's about the kingdom. So Adam and Eve, it was one person separated into two, because for some reason, I don't know, I actually don't know why he needed to separate them into two, but he created a desire, he created a longing.
Mm-hmm.
In one person to make the person want somebody else. That just, he just felt like doing that.
It's fun.
The same way he just created the human being so he could now start loving that human
being. God is so
just
cool.
Just like, I want to love, oh my God, I love you so much, love me back. And you're just like, you could just wire me to love you. No.
Teach you, I want to teach you.
And I have to give you your own mind, and you have to grow to love me yourself. And you're just like, okay, Lord.
Sure.
But it makes sense when you think about when, the funny thing people always say when a woman says, to a man, I wanted you to take out the trash, and he's like, I took out the trash, but I didn't just want you to take out the trash, I want you to want to take out the trash. It's like, and guys don't understand it, but we understand what we're saying. So it's that kind of that heart of like, I want you to want to help me, but I helped you. No, but you had,
well, you didn't come from the right place.
Yeah. I want you to want to. It's like, okay, cool. But if you imagine that Adam and Eve, when they were in one body,
mm-hmm.
were given the mandate to be fruitful, to dominate the earth, to do all of that stuff, and God was essentially saying that maybe one pair of hands alone and one pair of legs alone was not enough. So separated them so that they would create more of themselves, like the earthworm,
mm-hmm,
and continue to spread out. So that was the purpose of it, I believe. But if you don't have somebody who has the same like mind, like the same likeness, like, you know, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, if you don't find somebody who has that same likeness with you, then you'll be creating more divisions.
Mm.
So you see in a lot of families where the parents are not on the same side, the children are always divided. I prefer this person. I don't like this person. So they can't work toward one goal. And the whole point, God is generational because he wants people. He wants, literally wants families to all face one direction. Like, everybody follow God. So God started to give me, so, you know, when we say, oh, when you're single, find your purpose. It's not just when you're single, find your purpose. It's in your life, find your purpose. And your purpose is to expand the kingdom of God in any way he puts you.
Mm-hmm.
So today, you know, you may be a blogger, but tomorrow blogging may become extinct. You are not extinct. God exactly. will give you a different talent. God will show you how to manifest his wisdom in a different way. So it's not always about the things he's giving you, even though those things equip you. But, you know, get to know yourself, blah, 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 blah. So singleness has just been, God actually, you know, led me to do a series called How to Be Single,
mm.
where we talked about it's being single is not being incomplete. It's actually being whole. You're whole. You're a single, whole person. But the thing is, a single, whole person, like God said in the Bible, it's not good for man to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
So as whole as you are, to multiply,
yeah,
you need another. Because multiplication, like one times one is one. But once you add, once it's two times two is four. It just, one times one is one till infinity. But two times two is four, and four times four is, like, the multiplication, it's just exponentially increases. So whatever it is that you can do for the kingdom by yourself is exponentially increased when you're married. Mm. However, if you don't do the most you can by yourself, mm-hmm. you can actually end up limiting the person who comes with you, because it's supposed to be your best that gets multiplied, not like your mediocre part. So it allowed me to say, do you know what, I really want to be married, but I'm going to also focus on what you're telling me to do day by day.
Yeah, so I want to be complete in my, feel like in I'm my, completing yes, myself yes. so that when I find this next person,
yeah.
I'm not giving them my half-baked self. Exactly. I'm actually giving them my full self. So
exactly.
that they,
yeah. And the other thing God then said, which is about like a twist, is, but I don't need your perfection.
Yeah,
I just need you to be willing. Are you just willing that if I tell you do this today, you will do it? That willingness is more important than any perfection, because perfection almost means like you're stuck. You finish growing. But if you're,
I mean, what is perfection really?
Exactly.
Yes, especially for us as human beings.
Yeah. But if you're willing, so it means you always give God room. It means that even when somebody else comes and they have their different habits that are different from yours, you're always open to saying, how can we work together? I don't even know what I said.
Singleness. No, I totally get it. And I'm just trying to think of how, I mean, I'm single as well. Hi guys. Just kidding. No, so for me maybe I am the opposite. I never was really like looking for someone or whatever, just living my life like normal, whatever. But there was a point when God was like, well, you're not even like, it's fine for you to be comfortable in who you are, but if you're not preparing for this so called marriage that you say you want, then you're never going to be ready to. Right. So in my mind, I used to struggle because I'm thinking, I feel so whole in who I am. I'm okay, you know?
Yeah.
And so if everybody comes and I'm confident, I know who I am, what's the big deal? Like, let me just be my person. But what you said earlier makes sense, because you should be whole and you should feel good about yourself, whatever. But then you also have to leave that room of being open for someone else to come in, and then it's easier for you to break down your own mindset and blah, 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 so that the person is able to, like, earthworm you like join in.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Yeah, so that's a good one. Yeah. Okay, so numero six. I don't know what language was that. Spanish, I think, maybe. Numero.
Yeah,
numero is Spanish. Yeah. Numero says so generous.
Some reason the next thing that's coming to my mind is then marriage. So I had this really not as rare as I thought experience where God told me who my husband is. And so before then, in my single days, I've been technically single, not one of those that I've been single all my life things. I've been technically single for, it would be, no, it is 8 years, actually. Like, technically single.
Mm-hmm.
No boyfriend. I've met people that I liked, but I haven't had a committed relationship.
Yeah, you didn't officially date anyone.
Yeah. No. Specifically, I haven't had a committed relationship.
Okay.
Because that also messed with my mind. Like, why didn't anyone want to commit to me for the past how many years? And I remember at some point I had liked somebody, it came really close, broke my heart. Liked somebody else, came really close. I was just like, I don't.
What is this?
and I said to God, because I don't like people often.
Mm-hmm.
So if I like you, it's like, it's done. No, we're ready. And I said to God, do you know what, God? I'm not doing it again. My heart was so broken after the last person before the, anyway, whatever. And I said to God, how can I want someone so much that you don't want for me? Like, how can I want this person so much?
And then you don't want that.
And you don't even want the person
so
at all.
So planted in my heart.
Like, you don't even want the person a little. You know how God can allow you to have a relationship and then learn from it. You didn't even allow me to say, because I tried. I said, okay, do you know what, God? He may not be like the one, but can we date? Because I really like this guy. And obviously, I'm hoping that in the middle of the process, you know, I can pray for him. And I was like, how can you not, what? So I said, you know what? I'm angry, as hurt as I am with you, because I don't know why you could bring the person my way in the first place. So I'm not choosing by myself anymore. You bring the person. Nobody should hook me up. Nobody collect my number. No, I don't want
you bring the person.
And because I believe that you will bring the person, and when you do, there will be none of this heartache. So, I think around that time, I read about Megan Good and Devon Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, God told me who must. I was like, you mean I wasn't crazy? You mean you're actually going
choose? So you can actually choose.
You mean you can actually not even just give me guidelines, which is what I thought. You mean you can actually show me somebody and say, that's the person? Because she does not have two heads. Mm-hmm. They have a thing with God where that person,
like, you can do it for this person, why not?
You will do it for me. So I was like, oh, snatched that testimony. That's going to be my story. You will show me who the person is. And I talked to a few of my friends. They were like, how is that going to happen? I was like, I don't care. It's not for me to decide how this is going to go down. You yourself, Lord. And then a couple of years later, God told me to write a list, which I thought was ungodly. Mm-hmm. You know, good girls don't write lists. You just want a God-fearing man and that's it. God was like, ah.
You better write
a list. I know you. And he, I always say he tricked me, even though that's not really fair. But the list was so long that I was begging God to stop.
like, is this real?
I'm sorry I didn't want to write the list. Please, can I stop? It was so long. And then when I finished, I feel like God said, and I can't, you know, I can keep adding to that list. I'm just pardoning you. Write the list I told you to write. Like, why are you contending with me? Whose wisdom is it that you don't write lists? Mm. Like, where did you get that from?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just being humble. I'm not going to write a list.
God actually said it's a lie because you know what you like. Exactly. But ask me now, you tell me 10 things and now you're saying, oh, like, what is God fearing? So anyway, I wrote that list and I just felt this feeling like, this is my husband. This person I just wrote is my husband. And it felt weird, but then I'll meet somebody and just for fun, I'll just scan through like
the list.
It's not even you. And then I remember one day I was having a conversation with one of my friends in her house. And she was saying, oh, how far? She had just gotten married. Well, how far are you dating anyone? I said, I'm okay. It's between me and God. We have settled this matter. I'm not even stressing. Because I feel like if the person walks in right now, I'll know. The person walked in. I didn't know. But I felt like, why did this one just enter this room? Like, why are you trying to mess with my vibe? I don't even... And then as we were talking, it felt like a strange setup. Like, were they trying to hook us up? I don't know about that, because she was asking me about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not just so gullible that I didn't know that she was just tricking me by asking me about someone else when this was a real person. And we started talking, and he literally was ticking off things on the list that I don't normally bring to my mind, like some deep parts of the list. And I was just like,
wow.
Okay, this is interesting, but that's nice, Lord. Literally, my agreement is my heart is closed until you open it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even care. Yeah, he's ticking things on the list, so you open it. And then maybe like a month later, I had a dream, and he was in the dream. I said, this is not the first time I've had a dream that somebody is my husband. And it was not they were not my husbands, and I knew that immediately.
Mm.
So I knew, I was just like, that means I liked him more than I thought I liked him, and I moved on. And then after that, a week later, I was talking to this friend again, and then she tells me that God had told her months before I went to her house that he was my husband. And I was like, now, wow, God. So what is this now? Like, I know I said you bring the person, but
how do I know?
Are you not supposed to tell the guy?
Like, I mean,
why is it me you're telling? What do you want me to do with it? So I denied it. I was in denial for just a few days, but in those days, literally every day, somebody would say his name by mistake. I'm like, this is not a name that everybody
that is on
has.
The streets.
And if all of you people had been knowing him since, why didn't I bump into him before then? I had never met him in my life before.
Mm.
So I was like, this is really strange. And then so I said, okay, she knows, I'll pray for him. Maybe you leave me alone. You leave me alone with this matter if I pray for him. And I prayed for him. And as I was praying for him, God was actually telling me things that he was struggling with, like real things, not just like pray, declare upon his life. No, it was like, he's dealing with this, he's dealing with this, he's dealing with this. I was like, yeah, poor guy. He sounds like he's dealing with the same things I'm dealing with. And God was like, yeah, the same person. And I was like,
what?
Exactly.
What does that even mean?
Exactly. And I was like, well, I've still not really accepted this thing that you're saying. So anyway, I'm just going to pray and be going. And then that started, like, that plunged me into... It's interesting because my biggest fight with God really has been that. But I said that if you bring the person to me, it will be all right. God is like, yeah, but I'm redefining what it will be all right means. it will be all right does not mean
it's going to come tomorrow and
it's going to be smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It will be all right means you will know that it is me that said it. And so because of that, you'll be all right.
Hmm.
Because literally, like, it's just an interesting process because I'm literally, every other week, it depends on the week you come and meet me, I may tell you that, well, I feel like God has said it's not him anymore. And then God will now come and knock me on my head and say, when did I say that exactly? Because we started talking after a while. Oh, meanwhile, God told me to tell him, to reach out to him and tell him, excuse me, sir, I've not really known you much.
FYI.
Perhaps the Lord said, it was the weirdest thing. I was so afraid that day. And I remember I called one of my friends and she said to me, are you afraid or are you excited? She didn't use those words, but she just said, are you afraid or are you just dodging because you're actually really, like, what you're feeling right now is probably no fear. And I thought, wow. And the one wonderful thing that happened was that I told him all the prayer points I'd been praying and he was like, they were all accurate.
Mm.
So as I was praying for him, it was what was happening. And because I used to write them down with the dates and the times and all of that stuff. And we started talking and he was like, oh my God, it's wonderful. I see why now everything makes sense. And then we stopped talking. And yeah, that's literally where we are in the story. But I know.
I have so many things to say right now. But no,
God ended up using this time to teach me a few crucial things about marriage.
Mm.
One of them was that he said, the reason why marriages fail. Oh, he uses marriage to teach me about everything, honestly. The reason why Christians are ineffective is because we don't account for the suffering that was promised.
Mm.
So there is meant to be suffering.
Yep.
But you're not meant to shake. You're meant to go through it and know that you're coming out on the other side. The reason why marriages break up, I remember the first time I heard a Christian, because before I thought, okay, the reason why my relationships are not working out is because God didn't choose it. As long as I'm Christian and he's Christian and we have prayed, it's fine. And somebody said to me, God told her, God told him, 3 months or so into the marriage, she packed her load. She said, I'm going. I was shaking. I was like, what?
So that can happen to us too?
And she was like, and I said, she was like, yeah. And then she called her mom and her mom said, okay, but you'll be all right. And they've been married for years now. And that was the first time I understood that it was possible for you. And I was like, no, but that's not going to happen to me, Lord, because... And so I feel like God is saying, that was not going to happen to you in the future. How I'm helping you is that's happening to you now. So when I'm like, we're not talking, we've not talked for months, God is like, do you know that there are many times couples, they haven't spoken...
Oh, yeah, and then unfortunately, they're in the same house and then married.
Yeah.
And then he still has to go out to family occasion, like smiling. Yeah, it's like, oh Lord.
God is like, now practice. What do you think is supposed to happen? Pray for him. Ha, Jesus. It's me that's not praying. Do you know who I am? I'm a babe. In fact, God is like, oh, that one is for your pocket.
Your story.
Because all the years of you being a babe, do you know Kuku say that I should pick for you?
Exactly. It's your babe dumbness picking.
I picked for you. How about that? It's like, but you know, and so God is teaching me the strength, the thing that... God also is teaching me that you will fall in love with other people while you're married.
Some people don't want to hear this.
I was like, It's like, you will fall. So God is teaching me how to deal with emotions. Because I met someone in the middle of this. I was just like, oh my God, he wants me. I like him. And then God is like, no, he's not your husband. But why did you bring him my waist, boy?
Sorry.
This is going to happen in your life. What are you going to do? Prepare in advance. So God is teaching me how to deal with emotions.
Wow.
Because it's when you can deal with emotions that you are not tossed to and fro. Yeah.
Guys. Yeah. that's what I can say. This is it's so beautiful though, Amantaya, how like your friendship with God literally is on a per second basis, and it allows you to go through things but knowing that you have him backing you completely.
Yes.
So you can laugh about things and say, oh well, God, and then you know, just pick right back up and then and move on. Yes. So yes, God says that if somebody's your husband and it's not going the way it should, you just assume that it would be not say Cinderella fancy moment.
Honestly.
But at the same time, you know that's what God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. I'm such a nerd. I can't believe I said that, but yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, the thing with believing is that we think that it's non-stop. It's not a smooth road, but you always get back on your feet.
Yeah.
And the thing I found is that in the middle of it, God has allowed me. There are several times I've said, oh, I realize that it is not him. I realize that God doesn't need to shackle me to somebody who doesn't want me. And God would be like, I feel like God would be like hugging me and saying, there. Mm. And then a few weeks later, it's just like, excuse me.
Who told you that?
It won't even be who told you that. I'll have a dream. The first dream I had was the least graphic dream that I had. I was like, you just told me he's not the one again. He said, I didn't tell you that. The dream was, it was literally like, when I woke up, I didn't believe that I had woken up. Mm. You know, that kind of dream.
That's so real that it.
I was like, why? Why did you do this to me? It's like, sorry. But you were trying to go away.
Mm-hmm. So I had to bring it back to you.
It was like, I woke up like, expecting, literally felt like I was going to call him and be like, did you just have that same dream?
Exactly.
And yes.
But so no, you can't.
It's not easy, but every time I talk about it, I realize it's so worth it. And yeah. I would never have matured like this. Somebody would not pick up my call. I'd be like, he's not picking up my call. What kind of nonsense is that? Now it's like, I know I've told you what he's going through. So why do you need to call him out when I've already told you what he's struggling with?
Just leave it and keep praying.
Yep.
Girl. Yeah. Anyway. I think we're at number 7 now.
Okay.
And this is our last and final story. I've had so much fun, but yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what number 7 is. What's number 7?
777 is the number. You say, guys, 7 is my favorite number because I'm number 7 in my family. Mm. So I'm excited that we got to do this.
I love the number. And God keeps flashing 7 in different ways around me.
Complete.
As well.
Number of completion.
No, but he uses
and
dates.
And we're in July.
Like actual dates. So first, that's why you said 7 at the beginning. I thought about July. I remember like last year as well, he gave me a date, 7th of August. And I didn't know what that meant. And then I found out that somebody else had an encounter on the 7th of August. So I was just like, okay, I don't know what that means. Well, I guess wealth. God is teaching me about the purpose of wealth. And he's not doing it in a very easy way.
Mm.
It's almost like, okay, like he was saying to me, wealth is a mindset. And poverty is a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we say, oh, you're only saying that because, you know, your house, you're not paying rent. True. No taking away from that. But there's somebody who is not paying rent. There's somebody, they exist.
And it's still freaking out. Somewhere
and who is happy, who has no money, but who knows that the wheelbarrow they're going to push today is going to give them 500 naira at the end of the day, and they're going to eat something, and they're going to lie down under a shed. I have some water to drink and get up the next day, and they have a positive outlook on life.
Mm.
And that person is wealthy.
Hmm.
And it's like the example of Jesus. We don't see Jesus as a real person. That's our problem.
Yeah.
We see him as God.
Textbook. He's too perfect.
I remember one day God said to me, you're hurting, but I died. I was like, what? It's like, no, I died. They stabbed me, they beat me. Do you get it? Like, I felt the pain.
Wow.
God didn't like numb my flesh and say, right now you're spirit. No, he felt it. He cried.
I literally felt it.
He cried. Like, he cried. It's not like, you know, when we see like superheroes in movies, they're macho, they don't cry. Jesus cried. He said, please don't let me do this. He said, I understand what you're going through because I felt it. So with wealth, he's trying to say that there is a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. And when you realize that you are wealthy in your mind, you're not shackled by what you see around you as poverty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, Amotayo, I feel like we can probably go and do 77. I don't know why. I feel like we can. But guys, we're not going to continue because these have been set for me, Sha. I'm gonna literally drive back home just thinking in my head like, all right, some of these stories I can relate with, some of them it's just like I'm gonna ask God, please explain further. So I just really want to say thank you Amotayo for being here with us today at the Encounter series. And guys, honestly, I feel like what I've learned from this discussion with Amotayo is, like I said earlier, having a constant, non-stop relationship with God that allows you to know that He has your back, like all the time. It's very refreshing. It's exciting. It makes life worth living, in my opinion.
It makes it easier because sometimes we feel like our imperfections disqualify us. It doesn't. Yeah. So you can throw a tantrum and God will scold you, but still bring you back.
Wow.
That's comforting.
Okay, so Amontayo, thank you once again. I really appreciate your time. If you can just... Okay. Guys, thank you for being on the Encounter series. I really... I'm excited, and I honestly, like, most of the time when I finish recording this, I'm like, I can't wait for everybody to hear it. But with this one, I know that a lot of people are going to listen and be like, oh wow, I can relate with this, or I want to know more about that, and it just helps us to push more in our relationship with God. Thank you once again, Amontayo. I appreciate
you
your time.
Much. Thank you.
Okay, guys, so you have to admit that was a really, really fun session with Amontayo. So I still have her here because I'm like, Amontayo, you have to pray for our listeners. So Amontayo, if you can just say a quick prayer for everyone who's listening and feels like, wow, I'm so encouraged by her stories, her seven amazing stories, and they yearn and want the same relationship with God, or have it and just want, you know, it to be more impactful and continuous and all of that. So please just help us with that.
First of all, just a warning that if you pray, He will answer you. So
exactly.
Don't come back and meet any of us and say it's our fault. But yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are smiling over everyone who's yearning for you right now. Lord, I ask on their behalf that you just start to stir them up now, that you fill them up and show them something tangible that they can hold on to. Just a little thing. You know how you love to tease without teasing. How can I branch in the prayer? Okay, I'm branching in the prayer. So it's like he lures us. He shows us a little something that makes us come for more. Which is why we're always thirsty, but we're never filled, even though we're always filled. And so I ask that the Holy Spirit will give you that thirst. And the Bible says if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. But the hunger and thirst needs to continue. Amen. So I pray for you that your hunger and thirst will continue, and that you will be filled, and that you will experience God to the measure of which you're willing to open yourself up to Him, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So once again, guys, thank you so much for joining us at the Encounter series. Follow, like, share, because you just never know who these stories might touch and impact, encourage, or impart. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.